Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
My final hour of Ben and Woods on a Thursday morning. Welcome back. We are still live in Peoria, Arizona. A little bit warmer today, I think, outside. Just a fraction. So? It was very cold the first couple of days, for sure.
It's a little bit. It's in the 50s.
It's not. I mean, it's definitely not Arizona. It's not like 85 or anything, but I think we're getting into the mid-60s today, at least, which is a little bit nicer. Morning meeting is just emerging. Players and coaches coming out of the Padres clubhouse here. We will be letting Paulie and Woods get out to their games after this next segment. As it's a big day for both of you. Well, not really for your team. Woods,
nope.
You're locked into the seventh place game tomorrow.
Yeah,
Paulie, your team at 3-3 is in a five-way tie for second place.
Yeah, I don't know that we can jump to the championship game. I think
maybe the third place game.
We have all the tiebreakers over the teams below us, so like, there's no chance that we
can
play in the last
lower game. But you might not be able to. What are the tiebreakers? Runs scored, runs allowed,
head-to-head record,
head-to-head.
And then run differential. Yeah. Your favorite thing in the world.
And today, no doubleheader. Just one game today.
Yeah,
machine pitch. So no one has to throw any pitches today. Everyone gets to be rested up for tomorrow's championship Friday.
I'm going 3 innings tomorrow.
Paulie's going to be ready for it.
I have to start tomorrow
as well.
Bro, 27 degrees.
I had to do that last year in the 7 a.m. game. Freezing cold.
Freezing.
Fresh off the rate. Like, no time to warm up. You just get out there. It's so cold. There's still frost on the field. And they're like, hey, you're pitching. You're like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'll see you guys when I'm done.
And then, yeah, you should be here before the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Those games do go pretty quickly. So there might be, if I'm in the next game after you, there might be a little overlap where I'm heading out and you're coming back in. But
yeah, I'm going to be the
Ben's
closer.
Biggest fears.
Yeah.
Not that you're both playing against each other in that early game.
Don't have to worry about that.
Not be a concern, fortunately.
We'll be good. You'll get one.
And then we'll be back in studio next week.
Yep.
And, spring training starts, pitchers and catchers report on February 12th. And then we will be back out here late in the month of February for a few shows from Padres spring training when we'll talk to the real guys getting ready for the 2025
season. What do you mean the real guys?
Yeah, the real guys, not any fantasy campers.
No, it's been fun, man. Seeing Jackson here every day is great. You know, he's out here getting his work in.
Just saw Morahone go out to throw a pen.
Morahone's out throwing a pen. Yeah, it's always interesting. Be interesting to see what they do with some of the guys and see what guys maybe potentially could get a shot at earning a job this spring training. I mean, I think there are definitely some opportunities. I hear a lot of people talking about Tirso Ornelas, Ben, as a potential guy that could come and hit, for this team. He's been hitting, so, there's going to be an opportunity at DH. There's going to be an opportunity in left field. There's going to be an opportunity behind the dish.
Eggy's still
here.
He's
going
to get an opportunity.
Eggy's going to get a shot as well.
He's hit left-handed pitching at the big league level. To a very high level.
Yep.
It's the problem is against, obviously, righties.
Sure.
It's tough to have just the platoon guy against the lefties.
Exactly.
With a roster spot, especially if you're going to rely on him, every day for a designated hitter. So we'll see if any guys have taken that, step up during the offseason and come back and, make a leap. You guys do all the time. That's part of this game of baseball as well.
This team, as most teams, you need guys like Jackson Merrill, right? That see an opportunity, they seize it, and they make the most of it. And, you have them for years where you don't have to pay them millions and millions of dollars. And so, you do have to promote from within. You do have to develop players. And I'd love to see the Padres do that more and help out that big league roster. But, there's going to be opportunity there. Who wants it?
You go back a year ago. I mean, it was like a punchline. Like, Jackson Merrill is going to be our starting center fielder.
I know.
And from all accounts that I've heard, he literally didn't even know he was going to be on the roster until the morning they left for Korea.
Day of. Like, are we sure we want to do this?
That's crazy. I mean, to see what kind of season he ended up having.
Yeah, you hate to look at it this way, but he really bailed them out. He bailed them out of a really tough spot by being an excellent, excellent baseball player and rising to the challenge. So we need more of that.
So speaking of opportunities, another little bit of information that came out yesterday, we were talking about Roky Sasaki and his introduction to the Dodgers, is that with all the signings the Dodgers have done this offseason,
they have a surplus.
They're running out of roster spots and are going to need to clear some space on their 40-man roster. Now, most teams, you know, well, they let go of the guy who, you know, 40th man is probably a minor leaguer who's never even had an opportunity, and it's like maybe he'll turn into something, maybe he won't. The Dodgers' 40th man right now is probably veteran relief pitcher Ryan Brazier, who's, I mean, good arm in the bullpen. They don't have enough spots for the talented multi-million dollar players.
Four and a half million dollars a year.
So, you know, instead of releasing these guys, they're now quickly scouring the trade market to see if there is interest around the league. But, you know, that will create some opportunities as the Dodgers try to figure out how to stuff all of these high-priced acquisitions onto their roster. And, of course, Woods, they may not be done. In fact, they almost certainly aren't done based on comments from Andrew Friedman. It sounds like, you know, Clayton Kershaw's return is pretty much a foregone conclusion. He has not yet thrown off a mound in the rehab, but is continuing to work his way back and expects to pitch in the 2025 season. And I've said this before, and I will say it again. Clayton Kershaw turned down a $10 million player option that he could have. All he had to do was say yes.
Yes.
And they had to pay him $10 million. He can keep rehabbing just like he's doing now with all the facilities of the Los Angeles Dodgers. If he signs for one penny under $10 million, I am going to throw an absolute fit. And Major League Baseball really needs to launch an investigation. You can't have a team like the Dodgers just like getting players for less. Like what did they have on Clayton Kershaw? Why didn't he just take his $10 million and say, I'll be back next year for my $10 million? It's a very reasonable price for a guy of that level
of his caliber,
of experience, and like that's fine. So
I mean, it's not against the rules or anything, you know. It may not seem.
The players' union won't like it. Players' union will pitch a fit.
Look, man.
They'll probably call it innovative. And
yeah. Well, I mean, look, Roky Sasaki not taking the full posting amount. You know,
it's not a great thing either.
So we do hear a lot about players going, "Hey, man, you know, we're trying to set the market here. We're trying to get the most we can from these owners."
Kershaw knows that.
And Kershaw knows that.
He's been around the game for 30 years,
Been around forever, man. He knows that. But
come on.
And then the flip side of that coin is, well, he's earned it. He's earned the right to do and do whatever he wants and take whatever money he wants. If he wants to play for the minimum, you know, he's earned that right to. And that's kind of the unfortunate part. But, yeah, there's nothing the front office or the commissioner's office is going to do about that. Nothing at all. And I don't know that they should. It doesn't make sense on paper. It doesn't make sense in the world, but you know, we've seen it in our business. We've seen it in our business. Yeah, I don't need a contract. No, I'll do it for this. And it's like, oh, cool. Well, you're really screwing the rest of us over. But they don't care. They want a job, and he doesn't want to pitch anywhere else. I mean, he could get a free agent contract and go pitch anywhere else.
You know what? If you were going into free agency, and that was what was most important to you, I understand that. I really do. You know, guys take less to play in markets where they want to be. All the time. That's not uncommon. San Diego has often been the beneficiary
absolutely
of that. You know, what bothers me, though, is he had the option. If he knew he wanted to return to the Dodgers,
just take the option.
Why didn't you just take the option? Why are you? What is going on that you're gaming the system that you're not taking the option to come back if you already knew you wanted to come back?
I promise you, I mean, whatever he signs for.
It feels like theater.
It's eyewash. It's what it is. It's all a bunch of eyewash.
Unnecessary.
We've built such a culture. Guys will play here for free. That's the eyewash.
I don't know.
And I don't know.
I don't know why it's going to bother me so much.
Ben, look at Jack Flaherty right now. Jack Flaherty, if asked, would cut the grass at Dodger Stadium to get a contract again. Joe Kelly said he'd rather retire than play anywhere else. Okay, so that should speak about what they have. You know, when you talk about what they have over the players, players want to be there. But if you ask Jack Flaherty to literally go out and mow the grass and we'll give you a contract, you'd see him out there whistling Dixie today, just woo doo doo doo, cutting the grass, having no problem, no trouble whatsoever.
Plenty of guys definitely do not want to give up. We were talking to Greg Garcia earlier, said, you know, the game kind of told him it was time. But their guys, I saw Rich Hill is planning to. He wants to come back, and this time he wants to pitch all year.
All right.
You know, and he didn't have much of one last year, but he is not ready to call retirement. Jesse Chavez, reliever in his 40s, also
is planning. Bro, that guy's still getting outs, Jesse Chavez. Yes, he is. It's crazy.
It's been a couple of years since Rich Hill has gotten anybody, but he is out there on the market. And
did he
for pitching?
Maybe Andy Ashby can pitch for the Padres next
year. Did Rich Hill record a single out for the San Diego Padres? I failed to remember one single out.
No, and then
out.
Last year he had another season where he didn't record an out for the
I
think.
Buddy, just go throw a dolt ball. I'll get you a spot every Sunday. I'll let you hit, too. I'll play first. Like, whatever you want.
He just doesn't want to give it up.
He just doesn't want to give it up. I don't blame him.
He's closer to Randy Jones's age than a lot of the prospects that we've got here at Fantasy Camp.
Happy 75th, by the way, Randy Jones. You look great for 75.
3/4 of 1 century. Sit down, Randy.
Yeah, sit down. Yeah, grab a seat, buddy.
Say hello. Paulie, turn your mic on here. Was yesterday was the day or today's the day? What's the day?
January 12th.
So last week.
I was at the rodeo.
Were you?
How'd you like that?
Well, of course, man. You got to go to the rodeo for my birthday. It was fun, man. We had a good time.
That's
congratulations.
Yeah.
Buddy.
No, it's good. I got up this morning, man, you know, and I brushed my teeth. And remember when I used to be a fine-tuned V8 engine, right?
Yeah.
Well, I finished brushing my teeth. I felt like a 4-cylinder with a bad spark plug.
Like an old lawnmower?
I mean, yeah. And it won't start. That's me.
You get one of those pull cords?
Yeah. God dang it, you know. But, I'm amazed. 75 years old. I'm still out here.
Still out here kicking.
I love it.
I don't think it would be fantasy camp if you weren't out
here. It wouldn't, man.
You got to keep coming every year.
So many years, you know.
Yep.
I was so excited when Tom Satter, I went to him and I go, we got to start up fantasy camp again. And he jumped right into it. And I just loved it, guys. It's been so much fun.
We've loved having you, hearing your stories last night about absolutely dominating Pete Rose. It was one of the highlights of fantasy camp for me. I've been to every single one in the last 6 years. And those stories are great. Your stories are always great.
Well, you know what's amazing, though? I think about the 3 Cy Young Award winners we had up there. And like I said, I watched both of them pitch.
Yeah.
I was here.
Yeah, very complimentary.
I watched the whole year, and it was amazing. And I listened to what they had to say. But I was in the 70s.
Yep.
And, by All-Star break, I was already making plans for October. I was setting up hunting trips and stuff.
You knew there was going to be
no. Yeah, there's no
extra
season.
Baseball.
We
didn't
have a chance, man. You know, and they always did. That was, you know, and that's one thing I did miss.
Yeah.
Like I've always said, you could have my Cy Young Award.
Give me October.
Let me pitch one October game.
Oh, it's such
a fun. I know what I'd love to see what I was made of. Could I really do that? And I could.
But oh, we know.
I never got that chance, and I'd love to have that opportunity. You know, I really would.
No, it's a bummer. It bums me out.
Yeah,
because
I'm glad that more teams get the chance now.
Yeah, somebody's got to start the franchise. It's proud to be part of it.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't that pretty. You know. I mean,
there were some rough years.
We could do a whole show on if you want stories. It's like I had a perfect game against the Reds one day, into the eighth inning, top of the eighth. I had a perfect game going against the Reds, a big red machine. Tony Perez leads off the eighth. And second pitch, it's a routine ground ball to Hector Torres at short. Hector throws it about 10 rows.
There goes that.
Right? He goes to second base. Anyway, I get 2 more outs. Still got the no-hitter.
Yeah.
And so they pinch it. Bill Plummer, the backup catcher for bench.
For bench.
He pinched. And I jammed the hell out of him with a slider. And he hits a little duck fart right over Tito Flynn's head. For a base hit. And Tony Perez scores that one. Isn't that just nice?
Did you lose the game?
No, I won. I won 2-1.
At least you won.
Thank God.
That's just one little day in
just
the San Diego.
One little day in the San Diego Padres.
If you guys need to fill some time, let me know. I'll come up.
I got to get these two out to the
you
field.
You got it, man.
So, Randy, good to see you. Happy
great
birthday.
Day, boy.
As
you,
always,
man.
Randy Jones.
Always great to have you here, man.
Cy Young Award winner. Woodsy, you got one more spot for us, and then we'll come back with a little Don't Do This.
Well, listen, if you are in the market for a new vehicle, vehicle, highly recommend Manny Sedano Ford. Their incredible New Year deals have been extended. Every 24 model's got to go. As you guys know, Ford has been in my family my whole life. Grandfather worked in the factory. I understand quality and loyalty. Proud veteran Manny Sedano understands value. It's exactly why I recommend Sedano Ford. Right off the 8 in La Mesa, the deals are unbeatable. You can get the all-electric 2024 Mustang Mach-E Select, just $89 a month. If you're ready for an adventure, jump into the 24 Bronco Sport Big Ben, just $239, or step up to the 4x4 for just $50 more a month. If you're looking for legendary power, the F-150 Lightning is yours for just $199 a month. These prices, inventory is moving fast. The time is now. Your veteran-owned Sedano Ford in La Mesa, coming today. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Deals won't last. On approved credit, visit SedanoFord.com for more complete details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Back here at the Padres Spring Complex in Peoria, we're at Padres Fantasy Camp. Paulie and Woods going off to play their game today. I've got Italian Paul, Frank Marchese, back in the studio for these last couple of segments. Going to help me out, including with some Don't Do This. How are you doing this morning, Frankie?
Doing good, especially since I remembered to put your mic up to start this segment this time.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to get a couple of NFL stories for us here on DDT. We'll start with a bit of confusion involving Houston running back Joe Mixon, who was at first issued a $25,000 fine by the NFL based on comments that turned out weren't his comments at all. A Sports Illustrated piece quoted Joe Mixon as saying that, "Why play the game if every 50-50 call is going to go with the Chiefs? These officials are trash and biased." And based on those comments that were published in Sports Illustrated, they fined Joe Mixon $25,000. As a player, you're not allowed to directly criticize refs. At the very most, you can kind of, you know, beat around the bush a little bit. Coaches and players, though, in any professional sport, they know that that's a no-no. Here's the problem. That wasn't what Joe Mixon said. That was TJ Houshmandzadeh, who just posted that on social media, and Sports Illustrated messed up and quoted Joe Mixon about and attributed to him. So NFL said, okay, we rescind the fine. But then the NFL heard what Joe Mixon actually did say after the game. And here's what he did say. This is an actual Joe Mixon quote. He said, "Everybody knows how it is playing up here. You can never leave it in the ref's hands. The whole world sees, man, what it is. When it comes down to it, you can never leave it into the ref's hands. It's all good, though." So he kind of beat it around the bush a little bit, but not enough for the NFL's liking, which then yesterday reinstated the $25,000 fine that they had originally given him for TJ Houshmandzadeh's social media post. So in the end, Joe Mixon, $25,000 lighter, although the actual comments were quite a bit more tame than the ones that he was originally fined for that he didn't say.
I have an idea for the NFL. Now, this might be a radical idea, but actually have your officials call the game properly. Maybe because that would eliminate players calling out the officials for not officiating the game properly.
Do you have a problem with what with what Patrick Mahomes did.
Absolutely.
Taking a dive, trying to draw a foul. I mean, we see it in soccer all the time.
Yeah, people can't watch soccer because people dive, but they'll flock to Kansas City games.
You see flops in basketball. Are you telling me that if you were a Chiefs fan and it ended up being the difference between winning a playoff game and losing a playoff game, anybody is unhappy about Patrick Mahomes at least giving it a try in that scenario?
I mean, it depends on how obvious and embarrassing it is. Even when you're getting called out by Troy Aikman, who I don't like those two, I've never have. But when Troy Aikman is sitting there calling you out as a Super Bowl winning quarterback, calling you out for intentionally not going out of bounds in order to draw a penalty, flopping like a dope on the sidelines, that's, I'm sorry, something's got to be done. And at least that's... The NFL, for all of its faults, has done a lot better as far as the national media is concerned with calling out the Chiefs and calling out this nonsense as compared to what the national media has done with the Dodgers. The national media in baseball is fawning all over themselves to get to the Dodgers, where the national media in the NFL isn't afraid to call what they see. And it's getting to a point of, it's so obvious now, it's getting embarrassing.
Well, as you can imagine, Patrick Mahomes disagrees. When asked about the favorable calls, he said yesterday, "I don't feel that way. At the end of the day, the referees are doing their best to call the game as fair and as proper as they possibly can. All you can do out there is play the game that you love as hard as you can and live the results." But he was even a little like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done the whole flopping thing. That was a bit much. All right, story number two for DDT. Saw this one from Philadelphia, where I had to roll my eyes. The Philadelphia Eagles are selling to their own fans snow in a snowstorm. Yeah, they're selling actual snow from their Lincoln Financial Field win over the Los Angeles Rams in the divisional round of the playoffs. Or, get this, $50. You can order a canister of snow that was taken from the field. They got a little label on it. It says, you know, Eagles 28, Rams 22, Lincoln Financial Field playoff snow. They will ship it to you in dry ice to make sure, you know, you don't end up with a can of water at the end of this process. And if you are truly a diehard Eagles fan, you can own that for $50. Quote, "This item isn't just memorabilia. It's a story of passion, perseverance, and a team's journey to the NFC Championship for the second time in 3 years. As you know, Frankie, I am not someone who spends a dime on memorabilia, but this has to be the dumbest purchase ever. Even if you're a diehard Eagles fan and you were there, you're buying snow. And secondly, it's not even from like a championship game or a Super Bowl. This is divisional playoff snow. No one even remembers who you beat in the divisional round on the way to winning the Super Bowl, if you eventually do. And if you don't win the Super Bowl, who cares that you have snow when you ended up losing in the NFC Championship game the next week? I can't believe anybody is actually shelling out their hard-earned money to buy a little canister of snow from Lincoln Financial Field.
If you are an idiot that is willing to pay $50 for a jar of water, you should not be allowed to use money.
No, they put it on dry ice, so it's saying snow, Frank. Of course,
you
it's
gotta
not
leave.
Melt.
Yeah, because I'm gonna keep buying dry ice to make sure the snow stays snow for the next 50, 60 years. If you pay $50 for a jar of water, you should have your money privileges revoked. I'm sorry. I've paid for a lot of stupid things in my life. I paid for a Topps card with a raccoon on it. I'm not paying $50 for a bottle of water.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this on a Thursday.
DD mega doo-doo.
And I was going to give some congratulations here to a local athlete. USD baseball pitcher Austin Smith has been named a preseason second team All-American based on D1 baseball, so something to look forward to this year in college baseball in San Diego. But you know what? I'm throwing that out the window. I want to talk about you for just a second, Frankie. If you've been following along, you've heard Frank talk about his stomach sleeve surgery that you had.
Yeah, stomach sleeve.
Can you Can you give us an update on your weight loss? Because you look fantastic. I can see you on our YouTube stream right now. Where are you at right now?
I am at 295, so that is 101 pounds. The surgery was 3 months ago tomorrow. And the process started about 3.5 months ago. So, yeah.
I am so happy for you. This was a huge life decision, a big thing.
You're not kidding.
This isn't just a tiny commitment. This is an absolute 100% life change. How good do you feel now, though, really?
Oh, I feel great. I feel absolutely fantastic.
Awesome.
I still feel fat because I'm still, like, looking fat in my clothes, but I have to remind myself that my clothes are, like, two sizes smaller now than they were a couple months ago. But, yeah, I'm feeling really good. I'm really happy I did it. Really, really happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You get a big do-do this year. On a Thursday. Thanks, Frankie.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll come back. I want to update you on the Farmers Insurance Open because, you know, when I'm here, I get to talk a little bit of golf. But some comments, friend of the show, Charlie Hoffman made yesterday. And I'm not going to rip Charlie, although I disagree with him pretty strongly. We'll talk a little golf, and I think we're going to bring back our conversation with Terry Kennedy. Really fun this morning, having TK sitting down with us and talking with me and Woods and Paul from Fantasy Camp. We'll get to all of that first, though. Want to tell everybody about Trust and Will. Woodsy and I both went through the process during our holiday break. Neither of us had made any of our wishes known. And we're both turning 50 this year, but we just put it off like so many people do. It's not something you want to necessarily think about. And I didn't actually even realize it was bigger. I don't have that much to leave. Not going to be a big deal. Actually, it is a big deal because if you die without a will, that's called dying intestate. And the state actually decides your legacy. In fact, they could end up deciding what happens with your kids if you don't actually make your wishes known. So it's very simple when you go to trustandwill.com to set up your legal documents, whether it's a trust, a will, lay out some bequeaths, what you want to happen, not just your assets, but the important decisions in life that you can make early. So go to trustandwill.com, start the process. It really only took me, 15, 20 minutes. You can be more detailed, you can be less detailed, and just go with some of the standard choices, but just get it done. And when you go and sign up, make sure you use the code San Diego, all one word, San Diego, whether you're setting up a trust or a will. You're going to get 10% off and free shipping of all your estate documents when you go to trustandwill.com. So make sure you use that code San Diego at checkout and get some peace of mind in your life. It really is not that expensive. It's really easy to do, and you'll be surprised how good you feel about just having that done and not having to worry about it. Again, go to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. Final segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. I want to talk a little bit about the Farmers Insurance Open. Second round is now underway at Torrey Pines, North and South Course. Ludvig Åberg, the first round leader, shot a 9-under-63 on the North yesterday. Tees off in just under an hour on the tougher South Course today. One of the other bigger names in on a sponsor's exemption, Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson is 7-under now. He birdied his first hole in the South after a 6-under on the North course yesterday. Hideki Matsuyama is at 4-under after playing the South yesterday. He'll play the easier North today. And, you know, there's a couple of other decent names. Tony Finau is playing in the tournament. Sahith Theegala. And local Charlie Hoffman was 2-under yesterday. And I think qualifies as one of the bigger names in the tourney this year. And that's quite the change from, a decade or so ago when Torrey Pines really was one of the premier events, I think, on the PGA Tour calendar. With Tiger Woods coming in every single year, on winning almost every single year, 7-time champion of this event, ratings were huge, and it was a great tournament. It still is a great tournament put on by the Century Club and the organizers. I was watching yesterday. The views are gorgeous. I mean, it is just such a dream to be out at Torrey Pines as a spectator. But the field is nothing like it used to be. There's only a handful of the top players in the world who make it to Torrey Pines every year. And Charlie Hoffman, who I love and we've had on the show before, and I know he goes on with Gwen and Chris a lot, and I'm not gonna rip Charlie here, and I will give him absolutely every opportunity to kind of explain himself. But he was quoted yesterday about what's kind of happened with the weakening of the field the past few years, and here's what he had to say. Charlie said, the answer, I think, is the community of San Diego took for granted that Tiger Woods virtually showed up every single year at this event, the best player in the world, and competed to win almost every time he played here. We took it for granted. Now, a lot of these tournaments, if he had Tiger Woods two or three times through the history of the event, they would be happy. We had Tiger Woods each and every year, and we may have taken it for granted. And I don't quite understand what Charlie meant by that. I don't feel like San Diego ever took Tiger Woods for granted. I mean, they showed up. The crowds were huge to watch Tiger Woods. And he didn't stop coming to Torrey Pines because he was being taken for granted. He couldn't play golf. He was hurt. He was in car accidents. He had surgeries. He had back spinal fusion surgery and couldn't make it around the golf course anymore. That's why Tiger Woods stopped coming down to Torrey Pines, not because he was taken for granted. In my mind, what's really happened at Torrey Pines is some really bad luck, some really maybe questionable decisions by the PGA Tour. First and foremost, now because of the NFL's longer season, instead of having that great prime spot in the weekend between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, they now play on conference championship week. And because they don't want to go up against the two games on Sunday in the NFL, and CBS has, one of them, and they broadcast the tournament, now the tournament starts on a Wednesday and ends on a Saturday. Well, obviously, you're going to have less people be able to attend on Wednesday and Thursday versus, Saturday and Sunday. That's just logistically a bigger challenge. And, you've got players who are going to make the decision, hey, I just finished a tournament on Sunday in the desert. I don't want to start another tournament in 3 days, so they take the week off. And then the PGA Tour decides to elevate certain events, including the one at Pebble Beach, the following week, where everyone has to play. And it kind of makes – they've made the decision easy, unfortunately, for many of the tour stars. And they go, I'd love to play Torrey. It's a fantastic course. I just can't work it into a reasonable schedule anymore. It's the only week that makes sense for me to take off here on the West Coast. So I've got to take it off to make sure my game is in shape. And that has nothing to do with Tiger, has nothing to do with San Diego's apathy or taking Tiger for granted. It simply is a bunch of decisions that have all come together that have worked, I think, against this tournament at Torrey Pines, Frank.
No, I agree with that. And the way you laid it out, I think, was very accurate as to how things have changed. I don't necessarily think... I think the overall premise of what he said was right. I just don't think he used the right words for it. I don't think it's that San Diego took for granted that Tiger Woods came here every year. It's that you get so used to seeing guys like that come in every single year. And then when they're not there, it's like, okay, well, now what's next?
Maybe
it's,
the word is we got spoiled. We got spoiled
Tiger
Woods in the field every year, and now it feels lesser than because he can't play and he's not there. It's not quite as big of a deal
and
when
Liv
Tiger isn't there.
And Liv doesn't help either. I mean, Liv took a lot of stars that would have
John
come here.
John Rahm was a huge star who came here, and now he's no longer around. I like Ludwig Oberg. He said Torrey Pines is my favorite place on the planet. He's becoming new John Rahm as the European player who falls in love with Torrey Pines. And hopefully, I kind of want him to win and make this a stop every year because I think he's going to be a giant star on the PGA Tour. So, I'm kind of an Oberg fan this week and see if he can pull off the win at Torrey Pines. So, hey, they may get the big field if they move the Genesis Invitational from Riviera to Torrey Pines, as has been the rumor, has been the reporting this week. We may see all the big names. I wonder, will we see a different, vibe and atmosphere at Torrey Pines, if that is the case, coming up next month. So
it's
just some thoughts that I had on the tournament.
It's like you're crashing back to earth. You're crashing back to reality. This is what it is. When Tiger's not here, this is what it is. And that's now you got to just adjust back to reality.
Quite frankly, it's what Padres fans are worried about. They love what's happened the last few years. They don't want to crash back to earth. They want to keep the party rolling. As
I get it, but you're going to crash back to earth at some point.
Everybody
it's bound to happen.
It's sports. Everybody does. We are going to check traffic. When we come back, had a chance to chat with Terry Kennedy, a catcher from the 1984 National League Championship winning San Diego Padres. Had some great stories about Ricky Henderson, who he managed for the San Diego Surf Dogs back in the 2000s. Get to that to wrap things up right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm so glad to see that whatever tension and friction that went on last year when Woodsy started camp on Terry Kennedy's team and got traded, first ever fantasy camp trade last year in
first
the middle of the week,
yeah.
seems to be passed, because sitting down with us right now, former Padres catcher Terry Kennedy back with us here.
Water under the bridge.
3 The Fan.
Water
Look
under
at that.
The bridge.
Yeah, that was all a joke. I got no problem with Woodsy.
I mean, I can't hit.
You know,
I wasn't hitting, so I deserve some
I think
trade.
You have test anxiety.
I do.
Because
I do.
You're awesome, and then you just put too much on yourself when the game starts, and sometimes you just don't. You have to not give a you-know-what.
That's it, man. The Booney told me the same thing yesterday, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to change that.
I was actually more worried about our relationship. Now, were you at the panel last night that I was moderating, or were you not
no,
in the room last
no.
night?
Mm-mm.
This is okay. So now I have to admit
you have to
what
confess.
I was. So we had the three Cy Young Award winners, Randy, Mark Davis, and Jake Peavy, and we sat down like 45 minutes, and I did a Q&A. And one thing Woods wanted to know was, like, which players did you, like, failed, instead were hard to get out, and which were the guys that you absolutely owned in your careers.
I contributed heavily to Mark Davis's Cy Young.
I did some research, and I had my own formula based on plate appearances and OPS. And
I think I was one for 14.
It turned out that pretty much the worst major leaguer ever
18.
Against one for 21 is what I got in my research. Like the worst ever against Mark Davis was sitting right here, Terry Kennedy.
And the only hit was a bases loaded double with three ribbies, and I thought I owned him. And then I looked back and I said, "Oh, I struck out 14 times in 21 trips."
Well,
I couldn't see the ball.
He had that curve.
I could not pick up spin, and then I would just start guessing. I said, "Okay, I'm gonna look for breaking balls, or I'm just gonna guess," and I just couldn't see.
I promise I wasn't trying to call you out, but I was looking at the numbers. You know who Randy owned? It's Pete Rose,
man. Yeah.
183 average. He told a story about one time Pete came up left-handed to give it a try and took three strikes and sat back down in the dugout.
I faced Randy one time in New York when he was with the Mets. Bases loaded, he hit me for a ribby.
Did it hurt?
Next time up,
yeah, did it hurt?
He threw a slider, and I saw it was going to hit me, and I didn't move. And I got another rib because the base was loaded, and he starts screaming, "He's not moving." I was 0 for 5 with two.
Two RBI.
Yeah.
I always love talking to catchers, so I always want to know. Were you chatty behind the dish when you caught? Were you chatty with guys that came up to the plate?
Oh, no, I would say I would say hi if I knew the guy.
And that's it?
Yeah.
So you weren't one of those. All right, let's
Jake Taylor
heater.
Behind
yeah.
the plate.
No. That was I didn't like it, so I didn't do it.
Right. It would be the worst. And I heard Gary Carter used to chit chat a lot and do stuff like that. Is that accurate that you remember?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And you know what? On the outside, when we saw Carter, you know, we go, "Oh, cameraman, you know, always smiling, cameraman, blah blah blah." You know, but then I played with him in San Francisco. Gary Carter was a great human being.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken when he died.
Yeah.
And he was second to bench in that era to me.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And,
what a great player.
It just shows you that, you know, when they're on the other side, you make judgments and they're wrong.
Isn't that the worst when you play against a guy for years and you're like, "There's just something about him I don't like him. And then you get him on your team and you're like, "Oh, he's fantastic." And that's, you know, Jerickson Profar is a great example. I think Jerickson Profar, if you play with Jerickson Profar, you're like, "He's the best teammate of all time." You play against him, you're like, "I hate that guy. I'm going to drill him every time."
He's grown up a lot.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
I've watched him and I scouted him and he's grown a lot, which is great. You know, someone that can make the adjustments and mature. But, you know, the case you're talking about, anybody on the Dodgers, you hated them. But then when you played with them, you go, "Hey, they're not bad.
They're not too bad."
Talking to Terry Kennedy here. And, TK, speaking of, you know, legends who we've lost, Ricky Henderson passed away recently. And you actually had that opportunity to manage Ricky when
last
he played,
manager.
When he played for the San Diego Surf Dogs at the end of his career. Give me something from
all
that season, because that was
he's amazing.
That was bizarre.
I got about 10 calls from people, and there's an article somebody in the Times, New York Times, wrote it, and it was very good. I can't remember the writer's name, but you know, I knew Ricky from playing against him and seeing him, and I was wondering, you know, how's this going to work? You know, I was
nervous,
trepidatious, and. So I sat down with him, and I said, okay, how much you want to play? You know, he goes, I don't want to play on Sunday. I said, are you going to show up? He goes, oh, yeah, I'll be there. But he goes, I'm not. I said, that's good. As long as you show up, I said, the players will understand. I said, you know, these guys, they don't know anything about big leaguers. I said, it's important. And so, well, what happened is Ricky was a different guy, and, you know, many times I wouldn't go because I didn't go out with the players. But, you know, he'd say, hey, after the game, you guys are with me. And he took care of all their bills.
Amazing. Mm.
You know, they go out, have a few drinks or go eat, and he picked it up. They loved him. One day I asked him to – I said, Ricky, you know, can you give me 20, 30 minutes and go through the base running, starting at first base and going around? He goes, oh, yeah, sure. So the whole team went out there. And I didn't know what to expect, but apparently a lot, because he was very linear. Like he'd been on the coaching side for 20 years.
Right.
It was perfect.
Oh.
And the opposing team was in a dugout, and they're all over there leaning forward like this. I said, come on out.
Come on and listen to the goat.
And, man, I tell you.
That's so rad.
I said, these guys just don't know what they're hearing right now. They don't understand how important this is. The greatest base runner in history. Telling them how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and we got along, but the best story of all is, you know, one of the teams was here in Surprise. And ESPN was there that day. Well, he wasn't, and kept coming to the dugout to me and saying, you know, are you going to put him in? I said, I don't know. I said, depends what happens in the game. So I said, Ricky, you pinch hit. You want to pinch hit? Right here, he says, yeah, he hit a home run while ESPN was filming.
Yeah, he had a knack for the dramatic.
Yeah, yeah, it was the final, you know, cosmic thing that he did, and it was perfect, you know, just
so
perfect.
So Terry probably doesn't remember this, but he managed Ricky Henderson. He also, for a couple of hours, managed yours truly. And you always wonder why I don't do fantasy camp. So,
oh, man.
The Surf Dogs, that league, they were always looking for a little media promotion, you know, trying to get in front of the cameras. And they held a media tryout day. And I was still a fairly young television reporter, so Channel 10 sent me out to do the media tryout. He put us all to our paces, though. I remember, like, you made me throw from right field to third base. My arm almost fell off.
I would do anything for that.
It's the last day I ever played baseball in my life. I realized this is not for me anymore. So when I come here, I just sit here and
play
some golf and do some radio.
They set you guys up because I was going to make you pay, all those guys pay for what happened.
Apparently he has promised Tom Seidler, if the Padres ever win a championship, he'll actually come out and play the camp. I don't see him getting past the first day.
I mean,
he's athletic.
I don't think
He can swing a golf club like nobody's business. He'll whip your ass on the golf course, but him running down to first base is a scene. I mean, it's a scene.
Well, you know what I've noticed here, and I finally put it together this year. Okay, because of everyone's age, you know, maybe they're a 53-year-old, 54-year-old. Well, that time between 53 and 54 to campers is like between 21 and also now you're 35. And, you know, you just can't help it. It's not their fault.
It's true. 48 to 49 has been a huge jump for
me. They get ready for it. They tell me how much they prepare
for this.
And they have to. But you just not – it's like I went to spring training in shape.
Yeah.
I was ready to play. But you're not ready for it. You're not ready for, you know, catching 6-7 guys a day, and then they say, okay, you guys can go hit now. After catching seven guys, you got no legs left, and your feet hurt from standing up, and that's the best comparison to this. And, you know, just the standing around will kill you.
It will. And standing around in cleats all day hurts. Yep. Man, my feet are killing me. It's the best. TK, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. Great Ricky Henderson stuff.
And that was Terry Kennedy with Ben and Woods earlier this morning here at Padres Fantasy Camp. Always fun to chat with the campers. We got one more day of this tomorrow morning from 6 to 10, and then we'll head back to San Diego after the show. But it's been a lot of fun again this week. My second year coming out, obviously Paulian Woods' sixth year out here. Just seems to be getting better and better each year. We got Annie and Elston coming up next. They'll talk about the Aztecs game last night, overtime drama against Air Force, and much more. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Thank you to Frank in the studio, all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.